Me never did no formation, oh my girl. So baby, I did, I swear. For better, for worse. And then go, we said we break up on our life. Baby, for life is for life. And I've got you for mine, and you know. Tell me what you do, want my pain now. And I go do, cause you know I consider, oh. Your feelings, my pain now, oh. Show me what you do, want my lady. Holiday, we go fly from this city. Anytime, I pull up on you. Oh, you. From my head, from my head. Oh, you put my head, from my head. For your chest, for your chest.
Tonight, National Security Chiefs in race against time to broker peace in Boku before December 7 elections as they explore emergency measures to locate and remove rival chief from conflict-ravaged town that has seen 16 people killed in the latest eruption in violence.
We cannot afford a long dragging out of this conflict into the election period. So you don't want Boku matter to drag for too long. The gentleman, Abagiri Sedu, must know that his very presence is the reason for all these things. How he found himself there, he should find himself out. And that's what I'm expecting him to do. We have to find a way for him to leave the place.
We'll tell you why the Chieftaincy Minister is ruling out a declaration of a state of emergency in Boku. And Top Story is always brought to you by Telecel Connecting Energies and Holy Insecticide Spray and Coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. The National Security Chiefs are tonight in the race against time to broker peace in a conflict-ravaged Upper East regional town of Boku before the December 7 elections. Tonight, the country's security chiefs are exploring emergency measures to locate and remove from Boku the rival chief whose presence they blame for the latest eruption in violence that has so far claimed 16 lives. Chieftaincy Minister Stephen Asamoah Gyan says this is part of strategies to restore peace in the area. It was a bloodbath over the weekend when the opposing faction in the conflict set up a roadblock on the Boku Wale Wale stretch that led to the death of the 16 people. Speaking to the media in Accra today, the Chieftaincy and Religious Affairs Minister cautioned against politicizing the conflict and stoking tensions ahead of the elections.
Government is guided by its responsibility to protect lives and property, and above all, to enforce law and order to restore normalcy as quickly as possible. We have taken notice of the interpretations, or should I say misinterpretations, that are being given by the various factions in this matter, that sometimes seeks to inflame passions and designed to escalate the situation. In a way, I sense some level of mistrust that has crept in since last week, but I want to assure all sides that the trust you have had in myself, especially as your minister responsible for chieftaincy matters and with the government, must be maintained. Government, through my ministry and that of my colleagues and institutions, will keep listening to you and act with impartiality and in a fair manner to build and maintain the peace in Boku and its environs, as well as any other part of the country. I will employ all sides to stop the conspiracy theories going around, the blame games, and keep calm to allow government to deal with the security and the chieftaincy issues thereof. No one should play politics with this sensitive matter. I will continue to engage my colleagues in the political arena from all sides to work with government to resolve the current problems and to work towards lasting peace in the area. I strongly call on the traditional leaders too, from both sides, to refrain from any acts that would escalate the situation. I wish to call on all sides to lay down their arms and cease firing at each other. In this regard, I wish to reiterate our press release yesterday, and I quote, "Government is committed to taking all necessary measures to ensure the safety and security of the people of Boku and its environs. Security agencies have been directed to enforce strictly the curfew and maintain law and order. Residents are therefore urged to comply with the directive and to cooperate fully with the security agencies to restore peace and normalcy in the area."
Mamisi Nyamicha Thompson was there for us and joins us in the studio. Mami, the government is rolling out a raft of measures to try and deal with this also because of the impending elections. We know that one of the measures you're rolling out is getting the Asantehene to enhance that engagement that they've been on for a while now. Tell us more.
So indeed, Evans, as you rightly said, the Asantehene has been at the helm of these negotiations, ensuring that both sides come to some form of understanding or agreement. We already know that the Asantehene has been leading these talks between the factions for quite some time now. And it's in this same role that he's pushing for the two to come to some understanding. And so the minister, Stephen Asamoah-Boateng, tells us that is what he's been trying to do, and he's not been to the area yet. However, he's been in calls to both factions to ensure that there's some peace in Boku.
We need the leaders of the traditional authorities, both in the Boku area and outside, because I know there are others talking to the parties. For instance, I know Yana. I've been to him, I've asked him always to step in if there's an issue. I've known Yebora, others step in. But Otunfo has been given the responsibility overall. And he's been fantastic so far. I've been on the line with him almost every time. And behind the scenes, this matter will be resolved quicker than we expect. And they are very cooperative. Some of them takes a while to come around, but in a conflict situation, that's what you expect. That not everybody thinks the same as you do.
So he's very hopeful that this will be resolved very quickly, but they have one challenge, finding and removing from Boku that rival chief. And today they were very clear, the minister was very clear, that his presence in Boku sparked the latest eruption that had led to 16 lives lost.
Indeed. And this particular rival chief, Seydou Abagri, according to the minister, don't even know how he even got into the town. In fact, they are concerned how he's been able to exacerbate the tensions in Boku as at now. But then he tells us that security chiefs in the region are currently working to remove him from Boku.
A state of emergency mentioned anywhere to me. We've thought about it, me and some few, but it wasn't on the agenda. We had a meeting yesterday, the Security Council, and that wasn't on the table. And indeed, there's no need for it now, because the situation is under control now. The curfew, which was imposed yesterday, has yielded results. And so far, Boko and its environs are quiet. The situation evolves almost every day, but I believe that we have achieved the success of quietness, stopping of the gunfire. And what we need to do is to find a way that the gentleman, Abagri Seydou, must know that his very presence is the reason for all these things. So If I were him, I would advise myself that, look, for peace to reign, fine, I've come to see my people and they're okay, whether you are the chief or not, that's no subject to my debate now. What is important is the security aspect of his presence. And once that we can tackle that, that solves it. You don't need a state of emergency to let him move. How he found himself there, he should find himself out. And that's what I'm expecting him to do. So anybody who presents crisis unrest, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter who he is,
right.
We have to find a way for him to leave the place.
And Mami, today we got clarity on how many people died exactly following the eruption over the weekend. The minister clarified that it is 16.
Indeed, 16. He tells us that's the official figure they have received from the security agencies, that 16 lives have been lost in recent clashes.
And then we also got a timeline. The state is working with in the attempt to resolve this immediately. They want to finish and get some peace in Boko Brocade before the elections?
Yes, and the election is a crucial moment, according to the chieftaincy minister. They're trying as much as possible to ensure that this thing doesn't go beyond or reach the elections, because it's a crucial time for the country. And also, you remember that there's some issues with border security in that area. You know, the spillover of the insurgents from the other regions coming into Ghana. We don't know the situation yet, but the minister is saying they're playing it carefully. They're playing a careful game to ensure that that does not exacerbate the situation at the border.
We cannot afford a long dragging out of this conflict into the election period. Don't forget that election itself brings tension anyway. And so you don't want to add the Boko matter to it, so we better deal with it quickly. Don't also forget that we also have the little matter of our north border. It's not a little matter, it's a big matter, but that's also something we keep an eye on. So you don't want Boko matter to drag for too long. And both factions are aware of this. They're aware of the election implications. They're aware of the attempt by the jihadists in the Burkina Faso end. So when we talk to them, they're all conscious of the sanctity of our boundaries and our borders, and also the peace and security and how we live together. So we're achieving something. It's just that the presence of one man is creating us problems. And we have reached out, and we hope that sanity will prevail and that normalcy can return. But as I said earlier, it's not time for blame games. It's not time for political ping-pong. Nobody benefits on the state of a curfew. It doesn't give advantage to anybody. I mean, the parties are not what we are discussing now. It's government effort. And government is for all of us. And I can tell you, nobody has taken any sides in any of the matters. I deal with, even-handed with all of them. I called the Mampusis on my own. I called the Kusasis. I called some of the Bisas. There are other tribal groups there that also are involved in a way that we need to get them to talk. And that's my job. My job is to make sure that we are all talking. Mm. And that peace is the fundamental issue we are discussing.
Talking about peace, in the last couple of hours, the National Peace Council, they've issued a statement on this. We know that their men have been unable to enter into Boko as part of a peace mission there, but they have a statement nonetheless targeted at the people on the ground in Boko.
Yes, Evans, this is signed by the regional peace council chairman of the Upper East region, Alhaji Sumaila Isaka. He signed this, and they are unhappy. They are sad that we would have to come back to talk about Boko again. They said they didn't expect this because the larger part of the year has been calm in the area, only for this incident to happen on the 24th of October to date. What they're saying is encouraging the two factions involved in this to embrace peace as we continue, as the stakeholders continue to negotiate in all of this, encouraging the security personnel deployed to the area to also stay professional in their work and make sure that calm is restored to the place. They express worry that this is happening at a time we are approaching elections, which shouldn't have been the case. Reason why everybody who is concerned in this matter must come on board to make sure that it is resolved before we get into the December and closer to the election.
And that there's a very important point that the Peace Council is making. I want to bring in right now Professor Kwesi Enning, a security consultant, joins us on the line right now. Isaac Usomolaki is the MC for West Mamprusi. As of yesterday, there were still meetings trying to find a lasting solution to this, in addition to the additional deployment of military and police to that area. Professor Enning, thanks for your time here on Top Story. Today, the Chief Tennessee Minister was asked a question about the imposition of a state of emergency. He says there's no need for it now. He's confident that they can bring some resolution to the latest eruption very, very quickly. Do you share in his optimism?
Yes, of course. I share the optimism of the Chief Tennessee Minister.
I want to bring in Professor Kwesi Enning first. Isaku, please stay with me briefly. Let me get Professor Kwesi Enning's thoughts on this. Hello, Prof. Hello, Prof. Hello, Professor Enning. Okay, I may have lost him there on the line, but I still have with me Isaac, who is somewhat lucky. He's the MC for West Mamprusi. Professor Enning, can you hear me, please? Okay. Isaku Lucky, you were responding to that question, though, and you've been on the ground working with the Regional Security Council together, trying to bring some solution to this conflict there that has erupted again over the weekend, leading to the loss of 16 lives. You say you share that optimism. Why?
Yes. Thank you very much for the opportunity, and then I greet all your listeners. I want to say that for now, the way the issue is being reported, there have now been some little calm, if I may say that, a control calm, because now things are moving on well without any problem. If you look at what is happening now, calm down and things are moving well. In fact, I want to use this opportunity to thank the Ghana Police Service and the military for their intervention, and then the way and manner in which other stakeholders, including government, especially the minister for Interior, and then the Minister for Defense, and how the Regional Security Council and the Municipal Security Council have come together to work on this. For now, there's absolute peace, and there's no need for any panic. What we just need to do is to at least up our games and look at what we can do to make sure that we curtail this issue. This is a problem between two major tribes, and if we are able to engage them in a good manner, I think there is the way for us with a solution to the problem.
And the minister, yes, the minister also today made a point about locating and removing that rival chief, and today he was clear that it was his return to the Boku Township that led to the latest eruption. That's the rival chief Abagri. Do you agree that locating and removing him is one of the surest way of getting peace back in Boku?
I think more consultations have to be done. You know, when issues of this nature happen and you take a panic decisions, it sometimes affects the long-term solution to the problem. I would say that I'm not disagreeing with him, but what I can say is that we should rather do more consultations further to look at how we can resolve the issue. We may try to do something and further aggravate the situation. As we speak, the issue is in a way contained by the security forces. And any additional thing that we may do that may cause more harm than good, I think we need to avoid it.
We
should rather do more engagement.
Yeah, you said that, but well finding,
yes,
Isaku, but well finding Abagri, the rival chief, and removing him from Boku aggravate the situation, or will it lead to peace?
I am saying this because I'm not a security expert, but I am bringing something from being somebody who is also a head of security agencies. Security Council, and what we also look at, we may have to look at removing him may not solve the problem completely. Let us look at what we can do to have a long-lasting solution to the matter. What we are doing now is that first of all, make sure that sanity and calm, return back to Boku. And then, it has exploded to the northeast region. And sometimes what we are talking about, we are looking at the effect of that one from Boku to the northeast region. That is our concern. So if the government wants to take a decision, we all embrace it and we support, because we are the agents of the government and we have to work on behalf of the president. So we should we can come together, look at what we can do holistically so that we can get solution to the issue. Otherwise, if we take any decision that, a panic decision that may, hunt us in the future may not be good.
Just for clarity, Isaku, just for clarity.
We are reading the prime minister.
Yes, and the minister made the point that they now want to resolve this, broker some peace before the elections. But you are on the ground. And you've repeated the point again that the state and the government do not want to take a step right now that will lead to an escalation, right? And
yes.
And it comes back to the question, because the minister was clear that the objective now is tracking down and removing Abagri from that particular area. Do you support that move?
I cannot say I support or do not support, because he is the minister and he has more intelligence than I do. But what I look at is what is happening within our environment. And I am saying that I would advise that the minister do more consultations, and then we'll look at it and then see how best we can do it without any problem and without any contradiction. But for me to say I support that or not, I'm not in that position to support or disagree. The way it's my boss and he's a minister. But that doesn't mean that we should not also take advice from the ground, because we are more on the ground, especially at the northeast part of the issue. I am not in Boku, and I don't know what is happening in Boku. But I know what is happening within my environment, and I know what can happen and what cannot happen. If we look at it from that angle, I think we can solve the problem amicably. I think that this is not an issue that can that should hunt us for long. It is something that we can solve if we are able to put all our acts together, and then we will see how best we can get a solution to the issue.
Isaku Somo Lucky, thank you very much. Professor Kwesi Enyinga, I lost him earlier. He's on now. Prof, thank you very much for staying on with me. The minister today had indicated the path to peace, ending what has happened recently, the eruption in violence that had led to the killing of 16 people. One of the solutions he placed on the table is finding and removing this rival chief whose return, he says, led to the latest eruption. You've just heard there the MCE. Of course, he chairs the Municipal Security Council for West Mamprusi. An area also affected by the latest eruption, say, consult more rather than focus on finding and removing him. What do you say, based on your own understanding of what is happening in Boku recently?
No, I think all of them are just dancing around the hot pot and not tackling it the way it should. When the minister ties the resolution of the conflict to the elections, then even when we remove this rival chief, he will bide his time after the elections. I think the minister has made an unforgivable fundamental mistake in giving a timeline. We've got to solve them before the election. That is fundamentally a strong suggestion, the calculus that the different parties to the conflict are going to. Jihadists are not interested in exploiting the Boko Haram. So let us not pussyfoot and start looking for excuses that may not exist right now. Removing this chief will send a clear signal about the effectiveness of the Ghanaian state in stamping its authority and indicating that there cannot be rivals that challenge its authority. I like the point about the Northeast from the MC, but he also knows that the Northeast has been boiling for a long time, and his office did not play that effective role as far back as 2022. We know earlier this year or late last year, there was a decision by this rival chief to move to Boko, and the state of Ghana waited until the 11th hour. And therein lies the suspicion from the general public that there's a lack of political will in showing the state's authority in managing this conflict. I am far from convinced from the minister's argument this evening, but also from the MP's argument. This conflict is going to continue to expand. Boko right now is a ghost town, as it has been described. And ghost towns are a prelude to even more violence. Okay? I think the minister must grab the wound by the horn and say, this is where the problem is. We cannot have two rival chiefs. We cannot allow the authority of the state to be challenged, because we know that they are small and simple. They get into the people that they are willing and ready to use it. Prior to this conflict, Boko was already a divided town, an uneasy crowd, two markets, two lorry parks. That is not the way that peace must prevail. But even for both the minister and the MCE, there seems to be a fairly naive perception that peace is a common good, that everyone wants peace. It doesn't work that way. We need hard calculus to say who are those who are benefiting from this violence, who are those who are the entrepreneurs of violence, and be bold enough to isolate them and to use the law. Okay? This pussyfooting and looking for excuses, I'm sorry, you and I will be having this argument or this conversation next year by now.
And when the minister narrows down the current problem to the return of this rival chief, is he right in his diagnosis of the problem?
That is 1/20th of the diagnosis. Prior to this chief, this rival chief arriving in Bopo on the 24th, the town was a divided town. The small lamps were flowing. Fertilizer, soya bean, fuel were being smuggled and people were making profits. Okay? The disaggregation of those who benefit from the crisis in Boko, and please, let's stop using the word tribe, because by saying that, you even compound for the problem, because you are tapping into these old racist, you know, descriptions of us as being violent. That is not right. Okay? Those who are in the Boko tribe are much more complex than just the Mampus and the Pusakus. Okay? And I think for those who speak on behalf of the state, and for the MCE claiming the minister might have more intelligence and therefore blah, 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 he, the MCE, knows that when he holds that Security Council meeting, he is privy to all the sensitive information in his area. He can escalate it to the regional minister. And definitely in seeking to resolve the crisis, there is a reverse communication law which is giving the information also from Accra to be able to respond. So we shouldn't keep on shunting responsibility to decide and to take firm action to somebody else. As individuals, and as individuals in public authority, we have the responsibility to ensure that we make the appropriate decisions to bring about the peace, the development, and the stability that people are looking for. Pussyfooting and shunting the decision to other people will not solve this problem.
Thank you very much, Professor Kwesi, the security consultant. And as you've been hearing, the National Peace Council has issued a statement today. Ali Anakpiam is the Upper East Regional Executive Secretary of the Peace Council, joins us right now on the line. Ali, thanks for your time. Have you managed now to send a delegation, a peace mission into Boko?
Not yet. If you listen very well, the place is still volatile, so we haven't been able to go there yet.
Are there plans for this to happen sometime later?
Yeah, definitely. We are engaging with the Boko Interagency Peace Committee and other partners to see how we can engage on the issue.
What support are you seeking from the security agencies to help you reach out to the people on the ground?
For now, we are expecting that they are able to maintain calm in the place to enable us to be able to visit there. That's what we expect them and the kind of assistance we need.
And we've heard tonight from the chieftains and minister that Otunfo himself, as is now
stepping up the efforts to use back channels through the chieftaincy arrangement there to get the parties to sit and talk and smoke the peace pipe. Is the Peace Council involved in the process, and what can you tell us about how much progress you're making?
As far as Otun Force level is concerned, if there's anything, it should be with our national board. But we know some progress was made, but it stalled. And now that they are beginning to re-engage, I think that is the right way to go.
Thank you very much. And that there is Ali Anakpiam, is the Upper East Regional Executive Secretary of the Peace Council. Are you in Boko tonight? I want to hear from you. 055-11-11-997. Newsnight starts right now.
Than 24 hours to the Joy News Habitat Fair. Is also 39 days to the 2024 presidential and parliamentary elections. Hashtag Stop Galamsey Now, so on. Good evening and welcome to Newsnight. Tonight, opposition NDC says it does not expect its position on the ballot paper to change following the death of GFP presidential candidate Ekwe Adonkor, with suggestions the EC may have to reopen nominations.
Ballot papers have been printed and nothing can be done about it. What will happen is that the Electoral Commission will go ahead, instruct their presiding officers to get a ball pen and cancel Ekwe Adonkor pictures on it.
We have details as the Electoral Commission waits to be officially informed about the death of Madam Ekwe Adonkor, plus speak to a legal practitioner and get some reaction from the various political parties. Also, less than 24 hours after the NDC presidential candidate John Dramani Mahama challenged Dr. Bawumia with five key questions. Tonight, he has more questions. Guess what? This time to President Akufo-Addo.
Why is the exchange rate 17 cedis to the dollar? Question one. Exam, he should come and write. Why has Ghana's debt risen from 120 billion to 767 billion in 8 years?
Details as he demands answers, referencing Dr. Bawumia's 170 queries to Emis Arthur in 2016. Meanwhile, NPP flag bearer Dr. Mahmood Bawumia is focused on his campaign. He's promising tax amnesty for all traders starting 2025.
All taxes owed VRA will be cancelled.
And there's an urgent public alert by the Ghana Health Service urging people in Greater Accra Region to avoid handshakes and stop consuming food from unhygienic sources as it launches intensive community outreach campaign tomorrow to curb the spread of cholera, which has killed two persons this month alone.
Yes, we have more than 30 people that are coming in. As at now, we don't know how many.
And in business, Institute of Statistical, Social and Economic Research kicks against calls by various presidential candidates to scrap betting tax.
And in sports, Ghana set sight for glory in the WAFU Under 20 tournament ahead of the game against Nigeria tomorrow.
For the grand finale of the most sought-after high school competition, the National Science and Maths Quiz. Which school becomes the champion? Will it be Infantsipim School or St. Augustine's College? Or is it time to make way for Keta Senior High Technical School to taste victory for the very first time? But Evans, there will be two females on stage tomorrow, the quiz mistress and Perpetual Sefa Kogakpeto. Tonight, we focus on the only remaining female contestant in this year's NSMQ.
Another girl, Abba. This one, she's beyond Laminio. She's called Gakpeto. What she they can do? She's coming to break records.
The Gakpeto phenomenon, yes, will be all explained pretty shortly.
I can't wait for that. And of course, we have some data analysis also on who becomes the NSMQ champion for this year. That and more tonight's edition of Newsnight. You want to join us with your thoughts, your comments is via WhatsApp 055-1111-997. I am Emefa Apau.
And my name is Evans Mensah. Details after this.